session number 23215, rule 9, rule 1.
Major Woodgate, rule 1.
Can you tell me if there was a tradition of military service in your family?
No. During the First World War, my father was in the RAF driving lorries out in the Vosges Mountains. Distant cousins were in the Indian, out in India. But no, there isn't a tradition of service in the family.
When you were growing up and at school, did you do any military training?
Well, at Westminster, I was in the OTC, but I wasn't particularly energetic about it, and I never attained the rank of Lance Corporal.
Do you remember what was on the syllabus of training in the OTC at Westminster?
Not very well. One did work for Certificate A, but I don't think I ever took the exam. Oh, I may have taken part of it, but I never got the full thing. And it was mostly drill in Little Dean's Yard and Green. And every now and then we used to do a field day in Richmond Park. We had camp each year at Aldershot, which I went on. But one was rather limited. Do you know that Westminster at all? Of course, you've only got Little Dean's Yard and Dean's Yard, and then our playing field is at Vincent Square. So one's scope for training is limited. And when one went on these field days in Richmond Park, one didn't take it very seriously. We had a competition once a year, a sort of drill competition, and somebody used to come and inspect us once a year. But one wasn't very energetic about it. It's very awkward, really, because you had to... We lived at Wandsworth Common, so you had to come up in your uniform and putties, which were terribly difficult to put on. And, of course, one's whole school uniform was rather embarrassing, having to come up to the town in a top hat. I was a day boy, whereas Ted was a boarder.
Do you remember anything about the tactical training which you did in the OTC?
No. One did have a sand table, but again, one didn't really pay much interest.
When you were growing up, it was in the 20s and 30s, and things were happening in Europe. Do you remember if you had any expectations of war?
Well, it hung over one the whole time. Not really in the 20s, but in the 30s, there was always something happening. And I used to play cricket in the summer. I left school in 1934 and played cricket in various places, mostly at Wimbledon. And when the season came to an end, one used to tend to say, oh, we'll probably see you in Abyssinia or Eritrea or something like that. But one hoped against hope that there wouldn't be a war. We lived in a flat then at Battersea Park, long road of Edwardian flats, and there was Battersea Park power station at the end of the road. When war became imminent, or one thought more seriously about it, I always thought the Germans would come over straight away and bomb Battersea Park power station. And I passed my final in and qualified in October 1939, and war was then broken out, and everything was very full up. I hadn't gone into any, volunteered for any regiment during 39 or 38, because I thought, well, the thing is to get through my final first and then think about these things afterwards. And of course, then by the time war broke out in 39, everything was full up. So I thought, well, the best thing is to stay on with the firm I was articled to and then be called up in the normal course of events. And it would be interesting to see how it all worked out.
Do you remember if there was a specific moment when you felt that war had become inevitable as opposed to likely?
No. But of course it just hung over one, I would say, the whole of the summer of 1939. And of course, in 38, one just hoped against hope, quite wrongly, that things would sort themselves out. And when Chamberlain came back from Munich, one was very pleased, quite wrongly, I'm afraid. And then, of course, people then started joining up. But as I say, I thought, well, the thing was to get through my final and think about things afterwards.
You're obviously aware of the threat of the Luftwaffe attacking London, if you were concerned about the power station. Did you have any other ideas about the way in which the war might be fought before it began?
No. One had the wrong idea that the Germans would come over and start bombing very quickly. And of course, at that time, one didn't realize that wars are not won or lost by bombing. Ground troops are absolutely vital, as they continue to be. Think of being invaded. Of course, the whole time, one had been under the impression that the French army was much more efficient than it was, and they would be the first people to repel any attack that might come. One never realized for a moment that the French would give in like they did. Never into one's head.
What was your first contact with the army then? How did you get drawn into it?
Oh, well, as I say, I went on helping my firm to which I was articled. And in early 1940, one got calling up papers. One went for an interview. And of course, I was short-sighted, so I was grade 2A vision. And then a month or two later, one received a calling up paper to report to the searchlight unit in Yeovil. The searchlight at that time were gunners, and later they became Royal Engineers.
Did you go direct to the unit, or did you have to go through a depot for basic training first?
No, I went direct to the unit. We were in under canvas, and just outside Yeovil, sharing a tent with 8 other people. And there we had normal sort of training. We hadn't got onto any searchlights.
What was this normal sort of training? What was the content of it?
Oh, drilling and a little bit of field work. And soon after, it must have been soon after, about a month after, when things were going wrong in France, we were sent to guard an aerodrome at Hatfield.
That had been in May 1940.
I would say so, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So was this Hatfield in Hertfordshire?
Yes. Yes. It was an airfield it used to be owned by de Havilland.
Experimental airfield, then?
Hmm?
An experimental airfield.
I would think it was, yes. I don't remember any fighters going up from there. Mm-hmm.
Had you got searchlights by that stage?
No.
No.
No, we were just doing ordinary, behaving like ordinary infantry soldiers, guarding the aerodrome.
How was that guarding done? Was it done by fixed posts or by patrols or by a mixture of the two or some other system?
I would say by both. I was actually a platoon troop runner.
Yes.
So that I don't quite know. I would say there were fixed guards.
Yes.
And patrols as well.
Was the airfield guarded by any sort of physical barrier, like a wire fence or any of that sort? Was there a fence around the airfield?
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes. We were inside the perimeter, I think. Again, we were in tents.
What were you guarding against? What was supposed to be the threat to the airfield?
Oh, I think the thing was that against parachutists. I think that was the general idea. Probably against somebody coming along and blowing it up. Well, that would be the same. And no, I think mostly against parachutists.
Parachutists rather than fifth column?
I would say so, yes. Yes.
Did you ever have any scares about parachute descents while you were on guard at Hatfield?
No. No. No, we didn't. We did later at the Octu, but we didn't there, no.
Did you have any contact with the local Home Guard while you were there?
I personally didn't, no. I don't think we did. Had they been formed by then?
As soon as France fell, it became virtually spontaneous. After Dunkirk, the local defence volunteers emerged.
Emerged,
and they were regularised later.
Yes.
How was it that you were selected for officer training? How did that happen?
It just happened. As I said in my notes, after the fall of France, grade 2A vision people were made A1. And I was sent off to an Octu. At that time, there was a sort of general reorganization. One or two of my tents, I remember, were made lance corporals. But I went off to the Octu, 168 Octu at Aldershot.
What were the people like in your tent, the other people in your searchlight unit? Were they from all over the country, or were they from a specific area? Or
no, they're all over the country, really, yes. Unfortunately, when I went off the Octu, I lost touch with them. I got on very well with them. And we used to go to the NAFI together and out and that sort of thing. The most difficult thing I found when we all went out together, they were inclined to whistle girls, and I found that rather embarrassing. But they were awfully nice chaps. Very good chaps.
How did the girls respond to being whistled at?
Oh, I can't remember. Oh, I think they were quite cheerful about it, yeah.
Was there any sort of selection process or interview board before you went?
No. I suppose this is important. The troop commander, my troop commander, was a solicitor himself. So I probably got pushed along.
Where was the Octu that you attended?
A 168 Octu in Aldershot.
In Aldershot.
The commanding officer was a chap called Lieutenant Colonel Bingham, who was a guards officer, and known as Bungham Back Bingham. So we were always terrified with RTUs.
Did that happen? Were people RTUs in large numbers?
No. No, they weren't. I think we all worked pretty hard. And, of course, most of my colleagues had been in a TA thing or had more basic training than I had. my weapon training was very sketchy. Fortunately, I had a chap in the bed next to mine who'd done a course at Hythe, so that he helped me a lot.
Do you remember what you learned at the Octo? What the syllabus was?
Oh, I remember a great deal, yes, yes. Because it was all, I had to sort of, you know, work pretty hard to keep up. Yes, there was, we had our normal drill, of course, and company drill. The company commander was in the Essex Regiment. And funnily enough, my platoon commander again was a friend of mine, a solicitor friend of mine. And so that was very helpful. He was from the Rifle Brigade. Unfortunately, he got killed in North Africa. But that was a great help. And we went out very frequently on training on Cove Common and field training and spotting targets and route marches. And field firing.
When you did a route march, what sort of distance would you cover?
Not so far. I would say up to 10 miles.
How did you cope with that?
I was a keen in the 30s, during my holidays. I used to go on walking tours. So there was no difficulty. What was a difficulty was I'd never learned to ride a bike, and suddenly we were told we were going out on a map reading exercise with bicycles. So you can imagine getting onto a bike, not having learned how to ride it. So I used to fall off. Fortunately, the chap who was next to me in the barrack room was very helpful, so he used to give me lessons in riding a bike, and I became fairly... reasonably competent. But at the same time as I was learning to ride a bike, I had to learn to ride a motorbike. And I hate the beastly things. It used to fall over. And a motorbike falls over, petrol absolutely pours out all over the place. So I always have hated motorbikes. But I got competent in that.
It can be very difficult to read a map at the same time as you're riding a bicycle.
Well, I think one... Yes, quite. Well, I think one went to a certain place and got the map out and... I mean, I couldn't possibly read a map while I was actually riding the bike.
You mentioned the field training. What sort of things were you practicing when you went out onto the common?
Cove Common. Section in the attack, platoon in the attack, and various, then you played various roles, either you were a section commander or a platoon commander. General field training. And it was during the time at the Octu that they had the scare of... an invasion scare, and we all went out on about October, September and October, all went out to posts on them. We had defensive positions allotted to us, and we all rushed out there. Nothing happened, so we all came back again.
Were these defensive positions dug in and fortified?
I think we must have dug them, yes. Yes, we must have had a day out digging them, and then... gone out to them when this scare happened.
Mentioning section in the attack, platoon in the attack, did you go beyond platoon level in your study of tactics?
No, I wouldn't think so. No. We did company drill, but I'm almost certain one didn't go beyond the platoon.
And what sort of style of tactics in the attack were you taught?
Well, Tom.
What was the style of tactics? How would you go about doing an attack at platoon level?
Whether at that, I don't think at that time there was so much battle drill of right flanking or I think one even at that time you sighted the Bren gun and then you probably did a frontal attack, but certainly I don't think there was so much talk of left flanking and right flanking, which came in with battle drill in when they started the battle schools in 1941.
Should this be a case of using your automatic weapons to suppress the enemy and then charging them?
That's right, yes, yes.
Would it be a charge with grenade and bayonet at the end? Or?
Yes, oh yes, yes.
What was reckoned to be the practical charging distance then? How far would you, how close would you want to get before you did your final rush?
Difficult to say. 100 yards. You crawled up, probably along a hedge. Or it's rather difficult to distinguish between what one did at the octu in the way of field work and what one did later. Of course, when I was in the Essex Regiment, I had a very good company commander who was very keen on drills before battle school drill, battle drill. And he always had a drill for everything.
So he was in advance of the general trend.
Mm-hmm.
He was in advance of the general trend.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
You mentioned doing section and platoon attacks. Did you do the platoon and section in defence as well? And was there an emphasis on one phase or the other?
I think probably not. One must have done. But, of course, more time was spent in training just the platoon doing it rather than the whole company. And if you're going to practice defense, you've got to have somebody attacking you, which offhand I can't remember happening very often. I would say most of the field work was done at platoon level.
When you were doing those platoon attacks, did you have an enemy provided?
Oh, yes. Not a real, one was probably told a story of what. But in those sort of normal day-to-day field work, I would say one didn't have an enemy.
It was a notional enemy.
A notional enemy, yes.
What was the accommodation like at the Octu?
Oh, it was very nice. We were in those old Victorian barracks. I think it was Ramillies. Yes, it was nice. After being in a tent at Yeovil and Hatfield, it was rather comfortable. Yes.
What was the food like?
Yes, it was all right. Mm. I was used to eating anything, so yes, it was good. Yeah.
Were you used to eating anything because of the experience in the searchlight unit? Had that got you accustomed to?
Well, the food there was all right. I can't remember it not being. And at school, if one didn't eat up with meals that were provided at lunchtime, you got into trouble. Somebody would say, "Why aren't you eating your food up?" And always at home, I think. My mother always cooked at home. Fortunately, I've always been able to eat anything. So it really hasn't registered if it hasn't been all that good. I would say it was pretty good on the whole.
How did you find the discipline at the Opto compared to that in the Searchlight unit?
Very reasonable. As I had said, my troop commander in the Searchlight unit was a solicitor also. My platoon commander in the Octu was a solicitor. So, myself, I got on very well with them. And all my companions I got on well with. Our company commander, who I later met in the Essex Regiment, he was quite strict, but very fair. Really, we had no trouble in the Searchlight unit, nor did we have any trouble at the Octu.
Was there a great emphasis on turnout at the Octu?
Yes. Not unreasonably. No, not unreasonably. I mean, naturally, one turned oneself out fairly tidily and kept one's bunk quite tidily. No, there wasn't unreasonable emphasis on it, even though the CO was a guardsman.
Who were the instructors? Were they mainly officers or were they NCOs?
Well, most of the instruction were officers. NCOs, of course, always have been the ones to do weapon training, and I would just say the normal distribution: NCOs, weapon training, officers, more general things.
Do you remember who taught you map reading?
Who taught?
Map reading.
Yes. Yes, the platoon commander did that. Mm. Yes.
What about PT? You mentioned route marches. PT,
yes.
And games. Was,
yes,
there a lot of that?
I can't remember what happened about PT at the Searchlight unit. At the Octu, yes, there was a normal period for PT. I think there, PSI's instructors were people who took it rather than the officers.
What about games? Was that included in the syllabus as part
of
the training?
Yes, I played cricket at, we had platoon cricket. And also, I played for the Octu once. Yes. Of course, it was only summer, so I don't know what happened about football, but cricket certainly was.
How was the performance of cadets on the Octu assessed? Was it done by formal tests and examinations, or was it more a matter of the instructor's opinion?
I would have said it was more instructor's opinion. I do think we had written tests for map reading and various other ones, but I would say the assessment was more on platoon commander and company commander's assessment.
You mentioned doing live firing. Was that in the Aldershot area, or were you sent off somewhere else to do the...
No, any field firing was in the Aldershot area, yes.
Did you do a lot of shooting?
Not really, no. I wasn't a very good shot, actually, but we did a reasonable amount, yes.
Did you use all the platoon weapons?
Hmm?
Did you use all the platoon weapons?
Brens and rifles, yes. I always say one of the worst heralds when you're in charge of firing on...